This morning we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read that passage here at the beginning. Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." This particular passage, I think, addresses something that we can find ourselves struggling with in just normal life, apart from sort of the crisis that we're facing as a country and as a world with the coronavirus. And so I thought it might be helpful to go back to 1 Peter this week and look at this particular topic. When we think about anxiety and the struggle to trust that all is well, that things are going to work out, we have to look to God's Word for the answer to this. And anxiety is not something that we as Christians today struggle with and was not a problem for Christians in the past, but even as Peter's writing to these Christians in the first century, this is an issue that he felt the need to address in their midst. You have to remember the Apostle Peter is writing to a church that was being oppressed by governing authorities. They were being opposed in their personal relationships. They felt injustice and the hardships that are commonplace in all human relationships. These Christians that were the initial recipients of these verses that we just read were suffering the effects of living in a sin-cursed world where mistreatment and limited resources and an uncertain future weigh daily upon their hearts and their minds. And as a good pastor, Peter knew that they would be tempted to respond to these burdens in the wrong way. As a matter of fact, that's really one of the overarching points of 1 Peter. Peter is wanting to instruct us to not respond to our suffering in the wrong way. That instead, we respond in the right way to our suffering based on what we know to be true about God. If God is who He says He is, and He has done what He said He has done, then that should change the way that we respond to our suffering. We respond to suffering and our burdens in a way that is different than those who do not believe God to be who He says He was and to have accomplished the things that He says that He has accomplished. And so one of these central truths of 1 Peter is that Jesus responded to His suffering because he believed God, his Father, was who he said he was. And Peter takes that and says, because Jesus did that, let him serve as an example. One of the key central texts of this is over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." And here's the key phrase, "but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So, for instance, this applied in a situation where later on Peter talks about not repaying evil for evil. When Jesus was mistreated and treated evil, he did not respond with evil himself because he was entrusting himself to a God who would judge justly. Jesus believed God will judge justly. I believe Him to be who He is, and so therefore, I don't have to take sort of vengeance into my own hand. And Peter's saying, look, Jesus serves as our example in that way. And just as he suffered mistreatment, just as he suffered hardship, he trusted God in the midst of that suffering. And so one of the ways that we entrust ourselves to God is we don't return evil to evil. But our passage this morning focuses on another way that we can be tempted to respond to mistreatment or suffering or our burdens, right? We can try to get even, that's one way. But the other way that we can respond, and when we fail to believe that God is who He says He is and that God has done what He has said He has done, when we stop believing that, another way that we respond is with anxiety, right? And anxiety is that slow-burning fear that we find deep within us It's like the background static of our daily thinking. It's that inner worry that shows that there's this threat to something that we hold dear to ourselves. It's the emotional indicator that we are scared of losing something that we deeply desire. And we carry these concerns around like massive boulders. We think we can hold up those fears and those desires, and we can handle that load all day long. But here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Peter is telling us something different. That we ought a different path of responding to these threats to our security, these threats to the way we hope that life will go for us. And really his main idea here is that humility undermines anxiety. Humility undermines anxiety because it recognizes God's superior ability to care for us. Make sure you get that. Humility undermines anxiety because it recognizes God's superior ability to care for us. You see, humbling yourself means casting your cares on God. Notice that there in verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. So the main command here in these two verses is not to cast your cares upon God. That's what we often think, but that's not the main command. The main command, rather, is to humble yourselves. And as we'll see in a moment, that casting your cares is the method or the means by which we humble ourselves in this context. What does humility look like? It looks like not me carrying my burdens, but casting my anxieties, my cares, upon God. Now, think for a moment here that in this passage we are commanded to do something in regards to ourselves. It's humble yourself. And that simply means to see yourself in a different way. To see yourself as small and to see God as big. And how do we know that's what Peter means by humility here? Well, because it says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that phrase there, the hand of God, is a reoccurring theme that appears throughout the entire Bible. This common phrase, the mighty hand of God, is used over and over in the Scripture to describe God's power. And not just to say that God's powerful, but to describe God's power as superior to any other power that would sort of want to have a competition with God. There's no power that can match it. It's a power that time and time again in the Scripture is displayed most clearly in its ability to deliver God's people from their troubles, from their burdens, from those things which have set up against them. For instance, when Moses was preparing for Israel to enter into the Promised Land, Moses gave those people courage by reminding them of the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God that had delivered them from their bondage and slavery in Egypt and had strengthened them to escape from Pharaoh's army. I'll give an example. If you turn over into the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to read about three verses here that I think give a clear illustration of this phrase, mighty hand of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 32. The Scripture says, "For we ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and asked from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or has ever been heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of a God speaking out of the midst of a fire, as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand
and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. To you, verse 35, it was shown, that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides Him. You see, when you see God in this way, when you see God as He's described there, a God who's performing acts that no one else has ever performed of, no acts that no one else has even heard of, when you see God in that way, as He truly is, you are able to carry, you are as able as Israel was to carry their burdens as we are, right? Israel wasn't able to deliver themselves. God did that through His own power. And so, just as Israel was able to call upon locusts to come in and plunder Egypt, we're just as able to deal with our own concerns and our own anxieties, right? We are just as able to carry on our own anxieties as Israel was to command the Nile River to turn into blood, right? They weren't able to do that. They weren't able to exercise that power to deal with their problem. They had to depend upon the Lord. And in doing so, He was showing that He had the superior power. You see, only God could do those types of things. Only God could bring those terrors and those plagues and those miracles into the land of Egypt to display that Israel was God's people. And story after story in the Bible, we see examples where things are done which only God can do, and that serves as a testimony to our weakness, to our inability to care for our own concerns. Israel couldn't care for their own concerns, and so God had to do that. And the same is true for these Christians that Peter's writing to in this passage. They're not able to deal with their anxieties on their own, and so they have to cast them on someone who is capable of doing so. And the same, of course, is true for us today. You see, to do anything about what strikes the most fear in our hearts, we are truly not capable of dealing with it. And God is teaching us that we must see ourselves as small, and we must see Him as big. And only when we get this straight will we be able to take the anxieties and the burdens that we're carrying on our small, narrow shoulders and put them on the shoulders which are infinitely better prepared to handle those anxieties. So casting our anxieties on Him is the manner in which we humble ourselves. And so when we find ourselves full of anxiety, it's an expression of pride. Humility casts those cares, those anxieties upon the Lord. So, the question in my mind then is, what are we doing when we read this phrase, casting your anxieties on God? What are we doing in that? Well, to cast something is to throw off something from yourself onto something else or to someone else. So we're placing burdens on something you know is far more capable than you are to carry those burdens. And humility is acknowledging your ability to care for yourself is inferior, infinitely inferior, than God's ability to care for you. So casting your cares on God is actually one of the hardest things that you and I are called upon in Scripture to do as believers, right? We're casting off something we can't carry and we need to put it on someone else. And yet, while that seems liberating, it is very difficult for doing. Probably one of the most hardest things for us to do as Christians. And you want to know why this is one of the hardest things for us to do? Because if we're going to cast our cares, our concerns, our anxieties on God, it means that we have to hand over to God our deepest desires. That's why. Let me explain this. Anxiety is the fear of losing something precious to you. That's where anxiety comes from. There's something precious I desire, I want, and I'm afraid either I've got it, I'm going to lose it, or I'm never going to get it. That desire is not going to be fulfilled ever. And so to cast your anxieties on God means that you have to entrust what you most fear losing to His sovereign care. You have to entrust it to His wisdom to distribute to you or not distribute to you in His way and in His timing what He seems or deems best. You see, our anxieties reveal what we most desperately want from our lives. And casting them on God means we release our hold, our control on these desires. We're laying them down upon God, admitting they are too heavy for us to carry. We cannot keep our grip on them by our own strength and by our own power. Now, everyone that's watching this sermon here has a different expression of anxiety. We all struggle with this, right? It's not a common thing. Everyone has anxiety. The difference is it comes in different expressions because we all have different desires. We all have different wants and things that we want to see fulfilled through our life. But if you sort of have to guess on what the three most common, because we can't deal with all of them, the three most common types of anxieties deal with health, deal with vocation, and deal with relationships. And even in the midst of this current coronavirus thing that's going around, we see health and we see vocation in particular harmed by that, and also relationships because there's a separation from other people. So what does it mean that we cast these types of anxieties on the Lord? Anxieties about our health, anxieties about our jobs, our vocation, anxieties about our relationships. I want to take just a little bit of time here in sort of conclusion and look about what does it look like in casting anxieties about those three topics upon the Lord. Well, anxiety about our health reveals a desire to be unencumbered with pain or with disability. It reveals a desire to live a long life, being available to the people that we love most. When we have anxiety about our health, that's typically what we're desiring. I don't want pain, I don't want disability, and I want a long life that I'm able to be available to people that I love and be able to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. Now, as Christians, there's nothing wrong with those desires. Those are good desires. And since we live in a fallen world where sickness and disease and death are commonplace, those good desires of having absence of pain and absence of disability, the desire to have a long life, because we live in a fallen world, those good desires are threatened. There is a genuine threat to our desires. But casting these anxieties on God means you entrust to Him your preference for a long life free of health limitations. Now, you should see now why that's hard to cast our anxieties about our health upon the Lord. Because cast off these anxieties means to entrust even this precious desire to the Lord's care. And we're saying, Lord, we're going to trust You to decide what's best about my health. Here's my desires, good in themselves. But ultimately, Lord, I can't control all that. I can't carry the burden of seeing that desire fulfilled, so I entrust it to You. And I trust that You will do what's best with my health. That's what it means to cast care, those anxieties upon the Lord in regard to our health. Now, anxiety about vocation, when we're anxious about a vocation, what it's revealing is a desire for accomplishment and purpose. A desire to contribute perhaps something meaningful to the world and have a sense of a future where we not only have accomplished something good, but a secure future for ourselves financially and for our family, right? And again, these are good desires. There's nothing wrong with desiring to want to have a fulfilling career, to provide a safe and secure financially for your family. Good desires. And because we live in a fallen world where markets don't just continually increase and increase and increase, where there are threats to our job and our ability to accomplish something meaningful or provide a financial security for our family, we recognize that these desires are legitimately at threat to them in this world. So casting these anxieties on God means that we're entrusting to Him our preference for what our contribution will be and what we will make professionally. It's entrusting to God what level of financial security we will have in our own life for ourselves and for our family. You see, in all reality, God determines what contribution you're going to make with your life, not you. God determines how to best provide for you in the future, not you. Ultimately, again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard. It doesn't mean we ought not think wisely about how we invest and what kind of career we choose and how we spend our money. We want to be involved in those things, and we want to make wise choices as much as humanly possible. But in the big scheme of things, there are things outside of our control. We can't control them, that can come in and take the wisest financial advice, the wisest business planning, and can totally wipe it out. And that's why our shoulders are not broad enough to handle our anxieties, our desires for our career, for our vocation, for our financial security. And this event that we're going through now has been a sort of reminder of that, if we're listening properly, that only God is able to truly bear those burdens because He alone has the greatest power to do so. You see, God's wisdom is superior to ours, and that's why we're called upon by Peter here to humble ourselves, to admit, Lord, with my health and with my vocation, You're the truly big one. You're the truly wise one. You're the ultimate one with power, not me. And I recognize that by casting my concerns about these things upon You, entrusting them to You. Now that leads our last category here, that we have anxieties about our relationships. And our anxiety about our relationships reveals a desire for belonging, a desire for approval, right? A desire to be accepted and not rejected. A desire to have companionship instead of loneliness. And again, just as with those other things, these are in themselves good desires. And because we live in a world that's cursed with sin, those desires to belong and be accepted and have companionship, those desires are threatened because of the world that we live in. And casting these anxieties on God means entrusting to Him our preference for what type of particular relationships we think that we need. Whether that's a desire for a new relationship that we don't have, or whether that's a desire to see a relationship we once had restored back to the way it used to be. Casting our anxieties about our relationships on God means you let God give to you or withhold from you the relationships that you desire to have. Now, what would motivate us as Christians to take such a high risk as giving up our control of these desires? Desires for good health, desires for making a difference or financial security with our vocation, our desire to see our life fulfilled through the relationships that we can have with other human beings. What would motivate us as Christians to say, these three important things about me, I'm going to give up personal control of that and give it to someone else, namely to God? Well, verse 7 answers why we would be motivated to do that. Casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. That's why. How is it that we can possibly give over to God our preferences for something as basic as bodily health or vocational security or relationships with those that we love? And the reason we can do that is because we come to a place where we believe God cares for me. And God not only cares for me, in that caring for me, He wants what's best for me. And because He's wiser, I trust that He knows best. I have preferences, I have desires, but I know God's wiser than I am. And I can entrust my health, my vocational security, my relationships. I can entrust in Him because I know He's going to do what's best for me. Even when He decides something contrary to what I would have decided. I would work that relationship out differently. I wouldn't have allowed the economy to make the turn when it did. It would have waited until after I got that business plan done or I had moved it more secure in the job that I've just taken. And on we can create these scenarios. But casting our cares upon God, is part of that is humility. It's recognizing I couldn't run my life better than God can. I can trust Him because He cares for me. We recognize we are not our own, but rather we belong both body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you believe that, when you have trusted God's heart, you trust His intention is to do you good, then, and only then, can you give over to Him your deepest desires and let Him have them. Now, He says here that we're able to do so because He cares for us. And I want just for a few minutes here to think about what it means to care for someone. What does it mean to care for someone? Well, it means to identify with their good as if it were your own. One of the greatest examples I could think of about this is to think about what happens when a mother bear is trying to protect her cubs. Do you think it would be a good idea to threaten the safety of these small cubs when the mother bear is there? Right? If you've ever seen any kind of nature show, or perhaps you've seen this live in nature, if you're brave enough to do that. Brave or foolish, sometimes that definition's blurry there. But the reality is that mother bear puts herself between the danger and the safety of her cubs. And she puts herself in that way to protect and to give the full capacity of her life to prevent and make sure that what her cubs need is provided. And typically that's safety from some of the threat to their life. Now, if a bear, instinctively taught that by God, is willing to lay down her own life to protect her own cubs, do you think that God cares for you less than the mother bear cares for her own cubs? Do you think God less capable than the mother bear of preventing and protecting their loved ones? Now, we know that's a ridiculous thing. We know that God cares for His people more than a mother bear cares for her cubs. We know for sure, right, that truth. As well as we know that God is more capable of protecting His own people than a mother bear is able to protect her own cubs. There's no limit to His love, and there's no limit to His power. Now, I want to be clear here that God does not dismiss our concerns regarding our health, regarding our vocation, or regarding our relationships. He's not dismissing our concerns about that. But what He chooses to bring in our life is better than what we prefer. That's what it means to trust God. I have a preference. God brings something about. And we have to trust. In humility, we are acknowledging, God, what You bring is better than what I prefer. That requires humility and faith to embrace that. And that's what it means to cast your burdens on Him because He cares for you. And one of the greatest ways that God has cared for us is solving our greatest problem. Just a few books over in the book of 1 John chapter 4. I want to read two verses here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. John writes, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins."
One of the greatest expressions of God caring for us was God dealing with our greatest need. You see, none of your concerns that you carry about your health, about your vocation, about your relationships, none of the concerns you carry about those things can compare to the concern of a sinner before a holy God with the threat of being destroyed and rejected by God. But Jesus Christ came, as John just shared, I just read from 1 John, Jesus came and He solved that problem. He carried a burden, the burden of our sin, to the cross, a burden we cannot carry. He carried it on His own shoulders to the cross. He died paying the penalty that our sin deserved. And He rose again, proving that people can be resurrected from the dead and can live safely with God. And even now, we know the Bible says that He ascended into heaven and He sits next to the Father, interceding for us. So, if God took care of your greatest concern, your greatest burden, your own sin, can't we trust Him to wisely and rightly deal with all the other concerns that we're burdened with on a daily basis? And in one sense, right, it's right to say these are lesser burdens that we have to carry. You see, some of us are walking around on a daily basis burdened because of our pride. We refuse in humility to say, Lord, You're more capable of carrying this than I am. And I am going to surrender control over those things to entrust them to You. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be diligent from a human perspective. I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to think of a passive approach, right? But ultimately, I'm going to carry out my responsibility in those areas with an ultimate trust that You know what's best. These desires that we have for our health, for our vocation, for our relationships, these desires are precious to us. But if we do not cast them upon the Lord in humility, those good desires will exhaust us and run us ragged. So I want to invite you, as I have to invite myself, to say, let us cast these anxieties upon the Lord. Because after all, He cares for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that no matter what we face in this life, we can trust You. We can trust that You will make it right. As the old preacher said, when we cannot see God's hand, we have to trust His heart. And Father, as we think about our own lives and we think about all the things that we have desires for and we're concerned about, things that are right and good for us to be concerned about. Father, I pray that when our life takes a different direction than we've planned in those areas, that You would give us the faith and the humility to trust You, to cast that care upon You and say, Lord, we know that while all around us things do not seem the way we would want them, we know that it's not beyond Your control. And we know that in this, we have not fallen out of Your care and Your loving concern. Father, give us the Spirit of Christ that we can trust You to do what is right. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.